Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us here this evening at Exploring Energy Radio. I am your host, Laura Ezekiel. We have a great show tonight. I would like to welcome Catherine Samuelson. She is the author of Opening the Heart, Meditations on How to Be. When I first talked with Catherine, she was very, 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 very friendly. She's a great woman. She sent me this beautiful letter to saying very professional, talking to me about how lovely it was to talk to me, and she's looking forward to being on the show. She enclosed a copy of her book. This book is, it's not only aesthetically beautiful, it's just, and I say simple and not in terms that, to downsize it, but let me read one of the particular meditations, and they're actually simple yet profound. This is number 50. It says, do not stand still. Do not be static. Grow, heal, change. At any particular moment, sees us as perfect for who we are. It wishes that we move, grow, change and heal so that we can continue to be the best we can be. This is because, as I believe, part of our path here on Earth is growth, healing, and change. What can you do to not be static, to grow, to change, to heal? What do you need to bring into your life to do this? So they're very thought-provoking meditations, and, you know, they're numbered so that, you know, you go through the book and you have these beautiful photographs of beautiful flowers, and just really, it seems simple, it looks simple, but I will tell you that once you're reading them and it sinks in, it's pretty profound. And Catherine is also a channel, and the inspiration for this book was through channel. She just is really an inspiring person, and I'd like to welcome her onto the show now. And this is Catherine Samuelson.
Hi,
Laura,
Catherine. How
are
you? I'm good. How are you this evening?
Great. Thank you for coming on the show. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thank you for letting me be on the show, and thank you for the lovely, kind words about the book. It was a project of the heart, and you know, and it took its own sweet time.
Yeah, that's okay. Sometimes things that we work on for longer are they're more satisfying in the end. So.
Right. My book designer and I've talked a couple times at least about how if it had happened faster, it wouldn't be, I'm not sure, as good as, you know, it just wouldn't be the book that it is.
It's beautiful. It's a very easy to use guide. That's what I would call it. It's a guide to simple meditation and reflection of the self, which is not so simple. In the end, but beginning and in using these small, profound thought provokers, that's what I'm going to call them, because that's really what they are. They're meditations on, wow, how does that affect me, and how does that look for me, and what does that mean for me? So it goes deep, even though it's, you know, you have this sort of outline in the book where you have each page is very simple. It has a beautiful picture and a paragraph. And until you start reading, you don't know how in-depth the meditations actually go. So I'm saying that the book itself is beautiful, but when you actually delve into the meditations, it becomes something more. It becomes larger than that. So I love it. I think it's a beautiful book.
It came from the angels and guides, you know. It's
okay.
So I can take credit for being the conduit for, because sometimes their grammar is not the best.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I can credit for fine tuning it and understand what they were driving at and being open to that. And also, I can take credit for when I looked, when the idea initially came through to me from someone that they thought I was supposed to create a set of angel cards, which then evolved into meditation cards, which, because of trying to get things published, evolved into them being just put in the book rather than separate cards. I looked at the universe and said, well, I'm going to need an artist.
Yeah.
And they provided me reacquaintance with a friend who's a graphic artist, and she became the book designer, and her husband has an avocation as a photographer, and it was like, okay, thank you, universe.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. I just wanted to just say, for callers out there who are already holding, I do want to let you know that calls will be taken in the second half of the show. The first half of the show will be the interview portion, so you're welcome to hold and listen to the show, but we will not be accepting calls for questions until the second half, so just putting that out there. So, Catherine, can you tell me a little bit about how did this process for you begin? Now, we know you're a channel and this author of this beautiful meditation book. How did your metaphysical journey start?
Well, just be upfront about it. My metaphysical journey has taken me 180 degrees. Excuse me. I was practicing law.
Okay. All right.
And but I was starting to explore, doing reading, and I had a spiritual interest, and I wrote a book called Ask Your Angels way back in 1992, 93, somewhere back in there. God, it's been 20 years.
Wow.
And they had a set of divination cards that you could make. It was before, every bookstore had divination cards, right? And I made them, and on a number of occasions, I drew a card that said something about automatic writing. For people who don't know what that is you hold a pen in your hand and you connect with the universe, angels, guides, and they take over and start to write. And that's how I receive the information. But anyway, so I was also from time to time consulting a channeled being by the name of O'Brien, and O'Brien one day said, you should try automatic writing.
Nice.
And I said, okay. And I try, so words would come and fits and starts, not sentences, not paragraphs, just fits and starts. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to figure out, was it me? Was it them? So it was quite a long journey until I finally decided to, start doing this for other people. But in the meantime, I had been living in the Chicago area and decided to move to the Boston area for various reasons. And, thought, well, I'll still have a law job, and, well, the universe had different ideas.
They always do.
And
they always do.
And I got certified as a life coach, and so that's how it really started, and the journey's been continuing.
Wow.
And now I'm in Vermont.
Okay. Now you're in Vermont. So this is from 92, you said, till now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, around there,
okay,
1992-ish.
So, yep. Okay, so yeah, so that's a good journey there. That's
right.
I know that for myself. Also, my journey started in my 20s, abruptly ended, and then it was nearly 20 years later that I picked it back up again. So it's never too late. So for anybody out there who's listening and thinking, well, I was on a path, I was doing this, I was doing that. There's never, ever, ever an end point where you cannot get back on track. So never give
right.
up and never despair. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things when I'm doing readings for clients is it is clear to me that the angels and guides understand we have to pay our bills. We have to do things to take care of ourselves. So the advice is, I don't think of ever heard have them give advice like, oh, dump your day job. Don't dump your day job. But while you do it, because it pays the bills, but we'd like to see you consider exploring, studying deep ecology. That came through a couple times. I had no clue what deep ecology is, and I'm still not sure what deep ecology is. Or somebody should study shamanism, or they'd like somebody to explore doing alternative treatment, complementary treatments like Reiki and sound therapy, but it's never like, oh, dump your day job. Because they want people to take care of themselves.
Yes, yes. Definitely take care of yourself. I also believe that when you're called to do something like move on from a job, or you're given the opportunity for change through, say, a layoff, that those things aren't as... I always tell people it's an opportunity, not a failure. It's an opportunity, not a failure, and to look at that opportunity and express it in a way, this is the time. The universe is opening up this avenue for you to go down. So go down it.
Right. And having been through periods of worrying about money and the stress of that, and would I still like more income? Of course, most people would. But it's learning to breathe. Like, the first meditation in the book is breathe deeply, breathe slowly. You can breathe through anything.
Right, right.
And,
absolutely.
And then the second one is, that action's the counterpart to breath, be in the world. So you take those pieces, and part of opening the heart is to help you not live in fear anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't mean you don't have to be cautious at times, and, you know, there are times to be frugal and times not to be frugal. So it's not, they're not saying any of that, but they want people to become beacons of light, to live with
Absolutely.
Compassion, you know, to be kind, to be generous, to be compassionate, you know, to all that stuff. And a lot of opening the heart is aimed at helping you to look at how you want to be in relationship with yourself, with others, with the world, and the divine, because it's all part of that shift to me, you know. And I can tell you, having gone through the process of creating Opening Your Heart and working with it, and now working on a similar book, I am not the same person I was when I started this
right.
book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that makes
yeah.
perfect sense to me. Yeah. I think a lot of people, when they talk to channels or psychics or anyone, healers, you know, energy healers, I don't think they realize sometimes that we go through a process as well, that, you know, we're just like anybody else, that just because we're connected doesn't mean that we don't have our struggles or our pitfalls or, you know, there's so much for us to learn always, and that it's sort of a two-way street when we're working with others, because we're always getting back in what we're giving. And that's what's beautiful about that. When you say beacons of light, you know, everybody can be a beacon of light. We just have to choose what we want to project out into the world. And sometimes it's a hard choice.
Right.
Would you agree?
And yes, it is. It is a hard choice, and you know, it's sort of that thing of, and it's a blog I read from time to time, the Velveteen Rabbi, and she did a post on, you know, this whole thing in our culture of shaming other people to the point
mm-hmm.
where people have to hide in their homes, you know, and, you know, all the vitriol that happens. And so she tries, you know, when she posts or tweets or emails, is it kind? Is it true?
Right.
Is it kind?
Mm-hmm.
Is it necessary? So it could be
exactly.
true, but unkind and unnecessary.
Right. Yeah,
and has that very similar feel to me about what Opening the Heart is aiming at, and, you know, and the transformational nature of life.
It starts with you. It starts with you. You know, not you per se, Catherine. It starts with each individual, and that's, I think, where
right.
the book goes, is that the meditations deal with the self and how you're projecting yourself and how you're interpreting and perceiving things as well, and
mm-hmm.
how they manifest in your life. So it really is. It's like I try to explain it, and I don't think I did such a great job. In its simplicity, it is complex. It's a wonderful meditation book. It's really inspiring. It's food for thought, really, for the soul. It's a great, great read. And it's a guidebook. It's a guidebook to yourself. And I really love it. I think it's a great book.
Oh, thank you so much. And so just people will know there are three parts. There's the introduction, of course, and the how to use it. And basically the how to use it is, you know, there's some suggestions of how to use it, but you use it the way it works for you. But the
mm-hmm.
meditations, there are 28 paired meditations, so that you know, look at them and you can work with one or both at the same time, because life is so full of these seeming dualities, opposites, when really
mm.
both can exist at once. And so it's how
right.
moving back and forth between them can we be in the world with both of these at the same time. And so the first part is the photograph with the simple text on it. And so people will know it's water lilies, chicory, loosestrife, honeysuckle berries, and roses. And the
mm-hmm.
second part is the part with the expanded text, like the one that you read. And then the third
right.
part, there's some specific exercises you can do using the book if you want to do something a little more focused as opposed to picking one and working with it in a general meditative way. So
right. It's sort of like a little workbook in the back.
And there are some pages that you can take notes on.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, okay. Yep, they get the exercises and then your little, I don't know, it's really cool book. I mean, it's like I say, for people who need a little focus, you know, when they meditate and, you know, something to think about, it's really ideal.
And,
go ahead.
I was going to say, in the introduction, I encourage people to get a book stand. And you can get them cheap on Amazon. Just Google book stand, like $6, $7. And if you only want to work with one of a pair, then you could put a piece of paper over the other one.
Right. Yes. And
so
we tried
to make it
as well. It's on Amazon, right?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Barnes & Noble, my website. There are not only the paperback, there is Kindle, Nook, an iBook version.
Yeah.
And for those people in Massachusetts, you can find copies of the book at Dark Star Philosophia and Avalonia in Rockport, or Artful Heart Gallery in Arlington, and in Vermont at the Norwich Bookstore or the Vermont Herbal General Store in West Rutland.
Oh, wow, great. So there's many, many different places you can find the book. You know, the easiest, of course, is going to be online if you're not in those local areas. But, I didn't know it was available on Kindle, which is cool. That's really cool. I like the book itself. I like to have the book in my hands because it's really a beautiful book.
But in this day and age, why wouldn't we? And I thought about it before saying, yes, let's do that. But I thought, you know, the meditation pages would be just stunning on a Kindle or a Nook.
Right. This is true. I still like having the book.
I'm privileged to have them so I can have them on my computer screen.
Yeah, that is true. That's cool. Yeah. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your channel.
Okay.
You said you work with O'Brien.
No, that was somebody that I consulted. It's a channel consulted. I have consulted from time to time. It's not the channel. I apologize for the confusion. No, I work with my angels and guides who connect with other people's angels and guides.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like, how does it work and who do you work with? And
well, it's like angels and animal guides, dragons, and spirit guides. Those are the group, the team, you know.
Yep. Okay, Mm-hmm.
And, like, as I said, I use a method called automatic writing. Some people call it spiritual writing, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a
And I, you know, sit up straight, I have my feet flat, and usually I have something on my lap, something to write with, and I, you know, cut a deep breath and connect, and they take over and write. And I know what they're writing, and that's how I receive the guidance for people. So it's interesting, when I've done events, when I used to just say automatic writing readings, people would be really confused. Like, I'm supposed to write? Like, no.
Yes.
So I changed it.
You,
I now call it angel readings.
Angel readings, yes. Why not? Of course, that's where it's coming from, the angelic realm. So, for you, when you write, do you hear the word in your head before you write it, or does it just happen automatically on the paper with the pen?
I don't even use the ink anymore because they write so furiously over and over and over in the same spot. You can't read it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But when they write, I know what they're writing. It's like, you know, it's instantaneous. What can I say?
Right. Okay. Mine's a little bit different, but I was just curious about how the method worked for you. And
everybody is different.
Everybody is different. That's another thing that people don't understand also is there is not one way to read. There are many, many, many different ways and many different avenues for channels and mediums and psychics. They use different methods because it comes to them differently. It's just the way it happens. No two are the same.
Right, and if somebody's using a method that you are not used to, it does not make it a bad reading. I mean, I literally had somebody essentially tell me I'd done a bad reading because I wasn't using the method that she was used to, but then I'm thinking, why did you pay for the reading? You know, not everybody does tarot, and people who do tarot readings use different tarot sets. And somebody I had a reading with in Brattleboro, I wish I could remember the name of the store, she had divided sort of this feng shui thing where she had a cloth and she had, like, different areas that you would put the cards on, and, you know, so she had her own, you know, people develop their own methods.
Right. It's kind of, it's tools that we're comfortable with that help us bring the information through. You know, I do use cards, but I also voice channel, I also automatic write, and I also use my intuition, so there's a lot of symbolic stuff for me. I will see, you know, different pictures, and I have to really figure out a lot of stuff at first. So until it gets going, I see a lot of symbols. And sometimes people think you're fishing for information when you're asking about these symbols, but I can only work with what I got. If they're showing me, you know, a kid with a pail of water, I've got to figure that out. You know, so
right.
It depends
and
on.
For me, if I don't understand the question, it's like, well, what are you really asking? Then I will screw it up, or because I may be making an assumption about what they mean, and that's not what the person means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that happened to me a week ago Saturday. I was working an event and somebody walked up and placed something on my table and said, what do they have to say about that? And because I made an assumption about what this item was, the answer was completely screwed up.
Well, yeah. Well,
yeah, because
it's
we are only
messed
human.
Up. It's just because I believe that what the person needs comes through, whether they're asking the right question or not. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, and again, that's a saying, you work differently than I work.
Right.
You know, and it's not good or bad. It's just, you know, people who sit there, you know, if you're going to go have a reading, put your, you know, as the client, put your feet flat on the floor. Don't cross your arms over your chest.
Be present and aware. Yeah. Open yourself
right,
up.
Right, and be open.
That's what you're trying
be
to say.
Open.
Mm-hmm. Open yourself up, absolutely.
And understand that sometimes the psychic, the intuitive, needs to get a little clarification. You know, when you say, well, tell me about romance. I had somebody come in that wanted to ask a question about romance. Well, her real question was she wanted to know about the strength of the relationship with her current boyfriend. Well, she asked about romance. She left it completely open. And they're off on, you're going to meet somebody in 3 months, blah, 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 blah. And she was just like, she didn't like the reading.
That's not what she wanted to know,
Right, but she didn't ask the question that would have given her the...
Okay, so I just want to clarify for the audience that we're not putting people down about readings. We're just saying that there is a process. The process is different for every reader. That we do need information to try to get the information for you, and that it's a cooperative effort between the reader and the client, and that we would appreciate.
If you have a specific question, just ask the question.
Right.
It helps the reader.
Well, that was a fun little segue there. No, it's just, you know, I like to ask people about their process because I'm curious. It's not a comparison thing.
Right, I understand.
Just, I'm curious how other readers work. And because sometimes I get that whole, oh, you're fishing for information. And I'm like, this reading isn't about me. It's not for me. It's not about me. And this is just about you. So, and I also, like you, you say that, you know, you're carrying the information from the angelic realms. And I say, I always tell them too, that I am a vessel for information. It comes through me and it's a conduit. It's not about me. It's not my information.
Right. And there's a number of things that can clog up the conduit. And one is people
resistance.
I think an appropriate amount of skepticism is fine with me. But again, like when this person's sitting there and they're sort of challenging you, and like, I bet you know, it kind of, you know what I'm talking about, Laura, right?
Yes.
You know, and in some ways they're closed down. Well, if you as the client are closed down, it makes it harder for us as the conduit.
Right.
To receive the information, because it's all energetic connections and quantum physics, in my view, because, you know, twinned electrons and all, you know, and or as Barbara Taylor Brown, I think that's her name, she wrote a book called Alter the World. She has this phrase about the luminous web that holds everything in place. Well, if you're not open to a certain extent during the reading, you're clogging up that luminous web. You know, the information can't really flow.
Well, it makes sense because the person's probably not ready for the information to begin with. If they're blocking it, then maybe perhaps they're not ready for the information, and it's not going to come. It's not going to flow for them. So it's kind of like the universe says, "Okay, I'm mirroring what you're putting out. You're telling me you're not ready, so therefore, nothing comes."
Or if they're right? that skeptical, they have no business being at a reading, you know. If they're so skeptical that they're blocking, it's like, really, so why are you here? Because I can't help you when you're...
I never even thought about that. I never even crossed my mind to think about them. I always feel bad. I feel bad that they can't open themselves up enough to enjoy it and get what they need out of it. But I've never thought that they shouldn't come. Maybe it's because, maybe it's like getting training wheels off on your bike. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe
and they have to test it out.
Yeah, they have to test it
that
out.
That could
That's
be.
Interesting. I like that. I like that, though. I like that. You know, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here if you don't want to know?
I've never really said that.
I've had occasions
where it's just like, I'm not the reader for you. You know, it just it's clear to me I'm not the reader.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm not the reader for you, that this other person over there at that table would be the reader for you today. You know, don't know why.
Yeah. I've turned people away. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They weren't happy about it, but I had to, saying that, you know, this is the way I read. And I've learned over time to kind of announce that before we book an appointment, that this is how I read. This is what you'll get out of this. And this is where I go in my readings, and if that's not what you're looking for, then perhaps you should try something else.
Right. I had somebody contact me, and actually I had read for her before when I worked at World of Witches in Salem, Mass, when it was open, and she, of course, didn't remember because it'd been like a couple years, and when she emailed me, she wanted to know if I, you know, did medium type work, and I emailed her back and said, well, I'm not what I call a direct medium, like Don Holland and Jonathan Edwards, but we asked the angels and guides for information about somebody who's died, but if you really want a medium, then I'm not the person for you.
Right.
But she went with a reading with me because she'd had one, and I was upfront with her about what I do and I don't do. It's not like the Long Island medium where she goes, and I see this symbol, and I see this symbol, and it's more like we ask about a specific person, and it doesn't work for me to say who's around. I'm like, I really, for me, it works if you give me a name.
Yes. You know? I've always asked for names, absolutely. Always ask for names of the person I'm reading for.
Then names are
not my strong suit either.
And it's like, so how old were they when they died? Is it your father, your mother, you know, just some basic information.
Yeah.
And I say, so I can make a better connection through the angels, you know.
Right.
And I had one instance where this young woman was asking where her father was, and I'm like, is he dead or is he alive? She was quite surprised to find out her father was in heaven, but I had to explain, well, in my view, there is no separate places like hell. Hell is being in the unconditional love of the Creator and having to account to yourself for yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting how we all have different perceptions and views, and that's mm-hmm. that's part of being part of the collective, but also being an individual. And you talk a mm-hmm. lot about individuals in becoming, you know, the light for themselves and the light for others. And that you gave me a quote earlier. Can you talk about that when you were talking about peace?
Right. I've been, if people find me on Facebook, I've been not every day, but probably 4 or 5 days a week at least, doing daily messages from the angels and guides and doing readings. Sometimes I will ask somebody to be a beacon of light. That's your purpose, be a beacon of light. And one of the interesting things last month was be at peace. Peace in the world starts with individual peace.
Right.
Which I find quite interesting. You know, so
that it's about what you're projecting outward from yourself, and it's
right. But
yeah.
I think it also is that for there to be world peace,
right.
Everybody or almost everybody needs to have inner peace, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, no, it does make sense. It does make sense, absolutely. Because what is the strife and what is the issues of the world, if not fear amongst people?
Mm-hmm.
All of it's fear. And if you replace fear with peace, then you're not going to have that. It's just, I don't know how we got to be such a fearful species out here.
I don't know. Another good one that they had was kindness costs nothing. Anger and resentment have the cost of eating away at your soul. Which do you choose?
Mm. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Let me see. Eating my soul, that's pretty major. Oh, my gosh. It's true, though. It's so true. It is so true. You know, when you have that I still struggle. I still struggle to this day, in regardless of my work and how I can sometimes help others before I can help myself, in this just being human. And but I've spent a lot of years of my life in the struggle of choosing my soul being eaten instead of putting myself out there as a beacon of light. So I do understand the challenge for people. I understand
mm-hmm.
the challenge because, you know, we think that, oh, who wouldn't want to be this beacon of light that's, you know, sending out love and is at peace? And it's not natural. It doesn't come natural to us. It doesn't come natural.
Yeah, because I think we're taught to be in fear. We're taught
fear.
Right.
Yeah.
At one point in my life, I read a lot of books by a Belgian priest by the name of Henri Nouwen, if that's how you say his name. And he, in one book, was talking about he became very involved in what's called the L'Arche communities, or L'Arche,
mm-hmm.
where there are group homes for severely, severely developmentally disabled people. And
right.
he was in France at the first one, talking to this very old French monk who said, everyone is born a mystic. We teach everybody, the babies, to forget, or however he said it.
Absolutely.
Which I think is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the quote
completely
correct, but
yeah.
you know, that's the idea of it, that we're all born mystics and we're taught to forget.
Absolutely. I agree 1,000% with that. 1,000%. Just from my own childhood, knowing how natural it was to be open, to be in touch with other realms, to talk to angels, to talk to animals. That was all natural. It wasn't questioned for me. It was just part of what I did. and then, you know, later on in my life, affecting all of it at some point.
Well, our culture really, still, even though we're more open to it now, I mean, look at you and I are doing this work and we have ourselves out on the internet and on radio shows. There's still a thing about what we do, you know, and people are fearful of it. I
yes.
was
mm-hmm.
talking to a woman
yes.
where community I just moved from. I had been acquainted with her from the local library book club, and I saw her on the street, and I mentioned that I was going to be working an event, and she said, "What kind of event?" And I just said out loud, "Psychic fair." She literally started to sidle away from me.
Oh, wow.
This, okay. And then she goes, "So you have special powers?" I looked at her and said, "No."
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I know. I think because, too, that we get so enmeshed in the metaphysical world, our practices and meeting, you know, like-minded people, that after a while we kind of forget how much other people don't, are not aware yet.
Right.
And that, so this type of show and what you do out in the world is important. It's very important because there will be some changes in this world where I believe that every person will begin to remember that we are all mystics, that we all have these innate gifts or connections to Source and other realms. And communication is, this type of communication is more the norm than they would think. Do your angels have anything to say about the changes coming up in the world concerning the shift or, you know, the earth changes and, you know, individual changes? Is there anything that your angels have told you about that?
Well, they're just telling me right now, they said it is going to be bumpy, but don't be afraid, because
mm-hmm.
if enough people become beacons of light, then the paradigm shift will happen. It's just not going to be tomorrow.
Right.
So
no.
It's envisioning it. It's living from the heart. It's living from compassion for yourself and others. And being present, being mindful and heartful with hang on, I'm trying to get what they're aiming at.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So with the right work, it will happen.
Okay. Could you elaborate on that a little bit? The right
work.
Which part
of it?
What does the right work mean? The right work.
Okay. It means, they're saying it means the being compassionate, being a beacon, being, you know, it's the envisioning work, what they were talking about. So,
okay, so it's allowing yourself to get out of your own way, really.
Right, and having, my sense is a critical mass of people doing it.
Yes, mass mentality on what we're calling beacon of light, and what that really just means is that, you know, you have love and you have fear, and basically, we've been taught to live in fear. We've been taught that everything, you know, is. I mean, if you look at the news and you look at, you know, happenings in the world, and you kind of focus on all this negativity, and it just produces more and more fear from your body. This vibration comes out, and you get all this fear coming oozing out of your body. And you know, what we're asking you to do is have. You said it earlier. Have faith. Have faith.
Right, and work in collaboration and cooperation rather than always in competition.
Right.
And work for,
yeah,
you know, in my view, you know, living in a way that's more sustainable.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, there's this whole, especially in Vermont, you know, there's this transition town movement. You can literally Google transition towns, and there are towns that are trying to become more sustainable,
absolutely,
you know, more transformational.
Yep.
In fact, Green Mountain Power here in Vermont is starting to develop microgrids so that
nice.
We're less dependent, you know. starting, I guess, in the Rutland area, you know, and there's this real movement in Vermont for solar power and all sorts of things,
mm-hmm.
you know, and farmers
right.
markets. And there are, you know, all these small little farms that some of which use animal power.
Right.
You know, they
yeah.
have horses, plow, you know, the old-fashioned plows instead of tractors. So it's really interesting.
It's getting back to basics. It's, you know what, I tell people, I said, sustainable living is not about giving up everything that you love. Sustainable living is about living. It's about creating healthy food, healthy environment, pure
right.
energy. And you don't have to give up all the modern conveniences. There's ways to do things that you don't have to give up every single modern convenience, you know, and you can still be living sustainably. You know, there's
yeah,
various
you have
ways
a, you
to do
have
things.
Enough you have enough solar panels and maybe a residential wind turbine, which I understand are not noisy.
Yep.
You can have your computers and your television and your this and your that.
Absolutely.
You know, and
yep. And technology is going to get bigger. It's not going to get smaller. So it's kind of meeting both worlds together. And you can choose to live without all that stuff, or you can choose to live with it. But you can do it in a way that is still sustainable, doesn't pollute, doesn't, you know, you don't need pesticides in your own greenhouse, growing your own food year-round. You can heat your home through a greenhouse. I mean, all these things that you can look into, and it's really simplifying your life to a point, but at the same time, you can make it anything you want. So it's kind of giving yourself the freedom to live in any way you choose, which is kind
but
of
I
nice.
Also think it means things like finding, you know, if you love to make art, continue to make art. If you're a master knitter, knit, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, it's finding the things that give you peace and joy and some color
exactly.
in your life.
Yeah. And from there you grow, and when you grow, so does the next person and the next person. It's a domino effect. That's what, when we talk about mass mentality, we talk about being one person being the beacon in the individual consciousness of putting out, you know, higher vibrational thoughts and actions. And then that affects the next person, because when you're in that light, then you too want to be that light. And so it's a domino effect.
Right. It's. I was on a radio show last night, and the host, David Franklin Farkas, told a story about the 100th monkey, where these people were studying monkeys on some island. I don't remember what it was. They were actually studying monkeys on two different islands, and there was no way for the monkeys, you know, to get back and forth from the two islands. And they noticed there was this one mother monkey who would go down to the sea, to the ocean, and wash off her food. And she taught her, you know, offspring to do it, and other mothers start. So eventually, about every monkey on this island was washing their food first. And then, and so at the same time, they were studying the monkeys on the other island. And suddenly, without any communication between those monkeys, the monkeys on the second island were starting to wash their food.
Exactly.
So there was some, you know, some communication exchange somehow energetically after it got to be, as I said, a critical mass.
It's a vibration. It's a
right.
vibration. And they feel
mm-hmm.
the vibration, and we feel vibrations. It's like when you listen to music and a song affects you in a certain way, it has a certain vibration. Music is vibrational. And we can uplift ourselves with positive anything, art, music, you know, whatever's around you. If you can change that atmosphere, that environment into a positive, how can I change this toward better and take baby steps, just one thing at a time? Soon you're surrounded in positive atmosphere, and you're doing well for yourself, and therefore that projects out of you, and then people around you, they say, gee, what do you do that makes you so vibrant? And they want to know, because everybody really desires that. They really desire to get out of the fear factor. Wouldn't you agree?
I think so. There may be some people who delude themselves, You know, or there's still some people. right. Or they use fear to keep people voting for them or buying certain products. Mm-hmm. I mean, this whole thing to me about the fear factor about all the products for, you know, antibacterial stuff in this country. It's like, holy crap.
I know, right? I'm one of those people with the hand sanitizer. I'm like addicted to hand sanitizer. It's crazy.
I suggest you read what the ingredients are.
I know.
Because there are hand sanitizers that use alcohol and lavender that are much better for you.
Right. Yeah. That's what I use. I use the natural one.
Right. Because
we do
some
have
of the other, like Purell, it's like, oh, my God, have you read what the ingredients are?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep. I know. And that goes for so many things. So many things. And it's just like, you know, we shop blindly a lot. We shop blindly and not really researching what we're putting into our bodies and into our lives and what's in our environment. And it's a good thing to read labels, but again, don't make yourself crazy with fear about everything. But it's a good thing to really look into what are we putting into our lives, what are we putting into our bodies, what are we giving to our kids and our animals and ourselves and all that stuff. And we're just part of it is we've become really complacent, and also we've turned our power over to other people by not wanting to take responsibility for ourselves.
And not thinking for ourselves.
Does that make sense?
And not thinking for ourselves.
Yeah, well, that's taking responsibility.
Right.
To having to make choices and decisions. And I was just about to, there was a caller that was on hold since the beginning of the show, and she just hung up, and I was just about to bring her on. So if you're listening still to this show, please do call right back. I was just about to get you on so you could have your question answered by Catherine. If you're listening now, please call back. So as I tried to explain in the beginning of the show, we are taking calls in the second half. We're almost at that point where we're going to be taking a break. I'm going to give us a couple of minutes in case that person wants to call back in and ask their question. But typically, we do the interview portion. We talk about whatever we need to talk about. One more question before we go ahead and take that break. When you actually do your meditations, the meditations in this book, what are the results? What have you heard from people who actually have used the book? And, you know, what is the feedback that you've been given?
That it helps take them deeper than they've been.
Okay.
Learning new information about themselves. I have the local CATV show host that I've been on her show like four times now. She's open about having mental health issues. It's helping her with her stress, you know, and managing her mental health issues. So it's a wide range of things.
Okay. Yeah. I can see how they really are meditations for thought and for bringing more peace into your life. I can see that happening by using those meditations. So, all right, let's go ahead and take a five-minute break. I'm going to leave you guys with a little bit of music to listen to. Thank you, Catherine. I'm going to put you on hold for about 5 minutes, and I'll see you when we get back.
Okay. I'll be here.
All right, thanks. All right.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. fighting and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's striving and driving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. 'Cause he's going the distance, he's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance, he's going for speed. He's going the distance.
Okay, we're back with Exploring Energy Radio. We are interviewing Catherine Samuelson. She is the author of Opening the Heart, Meditations on How to Be. She's also a channel and a psychic. She is on the radio with us right now, Internet Radio. Let's welcome Catherine back.
Hi,
Catherine. We're back from the break. You're with us. We do have a
yes,
call
I am.
With a question, so... Awesome. Let's go ahead and take that caller because I think it might have been the same caller that was holding before, and we shouldn't keep them waiting any longer. So let's go.
Okay.
Hi, this is Laura. How can I help you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My name's Karen. I'm calling from Chicago. Wanted to say that. I bought that book, Ask Your Angel. That book in 1997, and that was an awesome book, and it's timeless. I just wanted to say that, completely timeless. I had a question about my career, and I was wondering if you see, I have a job right now, it's a temp job, but I'm not making enough to pay my rent, and I'm wondering if you see another job coming up.
Can I ask what type of work you do?
I do administrative.
They're telling me, and Laura, you can chime in on this, please, as well. I'm seeing something in 2 to 3 months. So just, it's like, hang in there.
Okay.
It's going to come through. But you just have to, like, knock on doors, you know, beat the pavement, you know. But it's going to happen.
Okay.
Can you just say your name one more time for me?
Sure.
My name
is Karen. Yes.
Karen.
From Chicago.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Do you spell it K-A-R-I-N?
K-A-R-I-N. With an E.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just focusing right now. It'll just take me a minute. So part of the reason why you're looking for something that pays better is you have an idea of need, an idea of need, which is natural. It's natural. But they're saying that there's something, some type of pretense, okay? And I want you to take that the wrong way. But just the idea that you're almost convincing yourself you have to make a move. Does that make sense?
Correct.
Okay, so in what will happen, I think, is that you need to kind of pull back a little bit, even though that Catherine is telling you go ahead and keep looking for that opportunity. I agree that you should look for the signs of that opportunity, but don't focus on it so much that you're gripping onto it, because that is actually part of what's holding it back. And I'm getting divine love around this. And when I get divine love around something, just saying, yes, you're on the right track. Have more faith in knowing that it's going to be provided for you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Doesn't mean don't look.
Doesn't mean
don't engage. It doesn't mean don't do the legwork. We still have to do the action, take the action to make things happen in our lives. But part of it is sometimes we hold on to something so tightly we can't even enjoy it or focus. We're so wrapped up in it. Does that make sense? So concentrated on I have to, that we're not seeing the signs that Catherine is talking about.
Makes sense to me, Laura, because it's that thing of you could be so desperate you can drive it away.
Exactly.
Well, that makes sense.
Look at it with love. And knowing that it's going to be provided for you and that you're embracing and accepting that gift. If you can look at it that way, it will come forward. You'll see the signs for it and be able to go down that path.
Okay.
And they're giving me a definite big yes to what Laura is saying.
Okay.
Sweet.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity,
I'll keep it in mind. Thank you so much.
Sure. Do you have any other questions for us, or are you good with that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, all set. All right, great. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
So I just want to let any listeners out there know that you can call in at this time to ask Catherine questions, and the call-in number is 917-889-2854. Either myself or Catherine or both of us, we're here for you for the next, 25 minutes of the show. We're accepting calls. The number again is 917-889-2854. So that was fun. I only take
Yeah, and I and I like it when, you know, we pick up pieces that fill out for each other. If that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
And interestingly, to go back to the book, one of the pairs is seek it in yourself. Then the other part of the pair is let it go. It will come when it wants to.
Right.
Which is that concept of envisioning it, but not being so desperate or attached to it that you drive it away.
Right. It's funny because sometimes all we can do is focus on something that we believe we need. And in the end, it looks a little bit different than what we expect because we're focusing on this idea. And when it doesn't come out the way that we're looking for it to come out, we totally miss it.
Right.
We're not even
aware
of it's right there in front of our face.
Because
we're looking for this
in
very specific.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Business, they always, you know, ask for the highest and best good. But sometimes the merely good is pretty damn good, you know. In fact, that was one of the recent posts about, you know, the perfect is only attainable some of the time. It is the merely good and the slightly flawed that make life flow, make life interesting. You know, because when you ask for it to be, whatever it is to be for the highest and best good, it may take a long time for the highest and best good to come through.
But I was going to say,
but if you'd ask for what is good, you know, you might have something pretty good in the interim.
How about please present the opportunity of the next step towards my highest and best good?
Yeah, something like that, right.
I like that. I just missed that.
Or yeah, I often ask for the most benevolent outcome, which is, to me, allows for a broader range of things.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to take some notes here.
I got that from a columnist that was on. I used to blog on a blog called Explore Beyond the Usual, and I can't remember his name, but he would blog about all these instances that people would tell him where you ask for whatever, you know, ask the most benevolent outcome with greater results that can be expected or hoped for X, and then you know, of course, you say thank you. And to me, that's not as limiting as the highest and best good for some reason in my mind.
I see. And I think it's about what we really believe it to be as well, because it's a vibration and not just words. So we're putting out the vibration of what it is we're believing in. It's, you know, it's a lot more complicated than we think it is sometimes. It's and I tell people, actually, it's more about making it simple. And but it feels sometimes more complicated. It feels sometimes more complicated. And I wonder
I think we make it complicated.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if that's because we make it so. Yeah.
And my sense is that the beings in the metaphysical realm are a lot much more tolerant than we are. I think they have a broader sense of humor. You know. They have to if they're working with us.
I can see them shaking their head right now, going, "Really, guys? Really? It's not that difficult. It's just open yourself up. Open yourself up and let it be what it needs to be. It's just,
I remember doing a reading for somebody, and just all this, she's doing all this metaphysical work, and what came through for her was that she, the client, was making this more complicated than it is. And she's like, "No, you don't understand. It is complicated."
Well, yeah, that's because you believe it is. So, of course it is. That's your experience right now. Very good. Yeah.
Very good.
I mean, I think, you know, it's funny because I was just going to mention that you're also a life coach, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And one of the things I find with myself when I'm doing coaching is that I tell my clients, I'm like, honestly, if you think I have my life all together, then think again, because it's always the experiences we're having for growth that are present. That's what they're there for. You know, and I said I get very good advice, but I seldom ever take it.
And, you know, it's constantly reminding clients to change their story through changing their language. That I have this client, and she just, I have to keep reminding her, think about where you were when we first started working together. You know, what your state of mind was, you know, where you were living. Now, you know, look at all the, so you haven't met your ultimate goal yet, but you're so much farther along than you were. You know, it's a journey, and it's a practice.
It's the individual moments, yeah.
Right, and I, you know, talking about changing the language, the negative talk in your head. And I said, you know, I was honest. I said, I've been there. I've had, you know, and I still every once in a while have to go, stop. You're not stupid. You know, stop. You know, don't talk like that about yourself. You know,
well,
and
yeah,
it just
yeah.
It's continually practicing it. It's a journey.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process, day to day, day to day.
But
so that's,
if you're
you know,
if someone's interested in life coaching, what they have to understand is that we as life coaches are there to help them ask the appropriate questions, help them figure out what their goals are, help them figure out steps to those goals, to nudge, to remind. But we cannot do the work. I had somebody wanting
absolutely
to guarantee
no
her
yeah
an outcome in 3 months.
No.
I said, I can't guarantee you, you know, that this
that's
is going
totally
to happen.
Up to you. That's totally
right
up to you. Yeah, it's totally up to the person. I mean,
right,
you can give
you
them
want
the
it
tools,
to happen,
you
got to
give
do
them the
work
guidance. And you know, and it's funny, one of the things I want to say about being a life coach or being, I call it intuitive coaching, because, you know, Source works through me, and that's how I'm able to do it. Because if I was going to do it just me alone, I don't think it would work. because I really walk a fine line between having – you know, my own crisis every other month, and then being able to boom, 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 just go ahead and give the answers to someone else. And it's
but
through them and through Source that I can do that.
But I also think because we live a human life and we've had our own experiences, that we're able to help somebody, you know, to say, I've been there, you know,
mm-hmm.
I've been in a similar situation, and I can tell you that you can move through it. You know, it also maybe helps you because you've had similar experiences and you know what tools worked for you, that you can suggest those tools to someone else. And
yes,
it gives us some empathy.
Yes, no, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely, yep.
Yeah, you have
absolutely
understanding.
Yeah.
Oh, well, life can be really screwed up sometimes and really great at other times.
Yeah, absolutely. Life can be screwed up. Life is great. It really is, I have to tell you. And that's not because I've lived a perfect life. And it's not because I've had great things happen all the time. Life is great in the sense that without all of these ups and downs, without all of the pain and the joy, there wouldn't be anything to celebrate. I mean, we really don't overcome joy, do we? Do we overcome joy to, you know, feel something else? Joy is usually the goal, but without the comparison, how would we ever know?
Right. It's
the
like
difference
to me, fall. You know, fall is like nature's gift to us to, you know, without winter, would we appreciate spring and summer and fall?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to have that dark time to really understand what that feels like. And it goes back to what you were saying, the experiences of a human being, those experiences, learning from them, and then bringing those ideas to other people to say, okay, well, yeah, I was in the same spot. And I've always said that, you know, I've done a lot of things and experienced a lot of things in my life because I've needed to be able to sit across the table from a person to be able to say, I do know what you're feeling. I do. I
mm-hmm.
have been there. And so life coaching for you, how does that work? I mean, how does it work as far as, like, do you meet with people one-on-one? Do you do this over
I actually have a client right now that we're working on the phone. She lives in New York City. So
mm-hmm.
it can work on the phone. It can work in person. I've had in-person clients. So it's what's going to work for that client. I maybe have my fee a little bit less than some life coaches, but I'm trying to keep it somewhat
mm-hmm.
affordable.
Yeah.
And if the person can only afford once a month, then that's what we do. I mean, I try to indicate, well, this could take longer because, you know, of longer time
right.
periods. Because the more we work together, the sooner this might happen. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm trying to make it reasonable for the client.
Yeah, willing to work with them on what they can do and what they, you know, their limitations at the time. Yeah.
Right.
So
What? Some coaches I know think that it has to be, you know, every week. Well, not everybody can afford every week. Not everybody can afford every other week.
Right.
So I got to go. I go see my massage therapist once a week. Or once a month. I'd love to see her every week, but
like every other day would be great for me.
I take one.
Oh, massage time? Okay. Yeah. I just need a day to recover. Then we'll do it again. Yeah. So tell us your website, where people can find you.
It's KatherineSamuelson.com, and it's spelled KatherineSamuelson. So that's it. It talks about the angel readings. It talks about life coaching. There's information about the book. And Linda and I forgot to put an index, you know, explaining for, you know, where, so there's even a page about which plants are on which page. Whoops. Can't think of everything.
That's cute. I like it. Yeah. Well, I really enjoyed that conversation. We've covered a lot of familiar subjects, as well as really talked a little bit about how we see our individual metaphysical worlds. And, you know, the book is awesome. I wish you all the best of luck. And, again, if you want to reach Katherine, you can go to KatherineSamuelson.com. And she is a psychic, channel, author, life coach. She does a multitude of different things for a multitude of people, and she's awesome. So please do check her out, and you can also find her on Facebook too, correct?
And LinkedIn, yes.
And
thank you so much for having me on, and I feel I can say the same about you, that you're awesome, and people should check you out as well.
You're sweet. Okay, thank you so much, Katherine. And hopefully we'll have you back on the show another time as well, and we'll catch up with you and see what's going on.
That would be great. I've really enjoyed this.
All right, great. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was Katherine Samuelson, and a super nice lady with a multitude of talents. Beautiful meditation book. I've really enjoyed it since she sent me a copy. And, you know, and I want to say that and we're talking about life coaching and psychics and, you know, questions being answered or asked. And I will tell you that for myself as an individual, I tend to go through these very intense emotional times in my life. And I'm just coming out of one of them. And, you know, I wonder sometimes how much I'm creating it, how much of it is energetic, how much of it is physical, mental, emotional, whatever it is, in trying to look at that. And when I come out of these times of emotional and heart trial, oftentimes I am very grateful. I'm very grateful for having gone through it, very grateful for the changes that it's brought about in me, regardless of the situation. And I've seen some, you know, some tough times, I'll tell you. And I know that everybody out there has as well. We all have our personal experiences and our heartaches and, you know, there's just things out there that we go through as individuals that sometimes, no matter how much you say, yes, I've gone through something similar, there's no way in explaining the emotion and the feeling that goes on in a person's heart during those situations. And no one else can tell you that. No one else can tell you that. They can only tell you what their experience has been. And it may have been similar, and they can share what is, you know, helpful to them, and they can be there to support you. But in the end, it is really truly you. It is you who must look inside and discover what it is that was all about. What did this time in my life mean? What was it for? Because there was never, ever, ever a time in your life that doesn't have meaning. You are a divine incarnated being. You are divinity. You are a spirit and light and love, residing in a physical body, having a human experience, having a physical experience, And for us here on this plane of existence, there has been pain. There has. And so what I'm saying out there to you is never, never, never do I say to a client, yes, I've been in exactly in your shoes. I know exactly how you're feeling. I know exactly what you're talking about. There's no such thing. There's your experience and my experience. We may have similar experience, and like Catherine said, there's empathy. There's empathy. There's also sympathy for someone else's pain. The pain is individual. And if you've ever gone to any type of medical establishment or learned anything about medical, you know, they say, they have a saying that pain is what the patient says it is. So I say pain is what the client says it is. It's not about me. It's not about my experience. It's not about my feelings. It's about the client and what's best for them in the context of the situation. And that information comes from source. And it comes from source because you are divine incarnate. And that is where we are connected, through source. So I want to thank everybody for listening this evening. It was a pleasure having Catherine Samuelson. Once again, you can find her at CatherineSamuelson.com. She is a psychic, channel, author, and life coach, and she can help you. Thank you again, and have a great night.